A lot of the things we've told you about in the Skagit Valley have impacts around the world. International visitors flock to the Tulip Festival in April. Aerospace suppliers have their parts in jets that travel the globe. This next person also has global reach. Dr. Binay Shah is an oncologist at Peace Health in Cedro Woolley, but he's also the face of the Binay Tara Foundation, which works to improve access to cancer care and end-of-life care in Nepal and India. They're also working to promote reforms to the healthcare system here in the United States. KNKX's Ed Ronco sat down with Dr. Shah to talk about that work and asked about how his life as a doctor was shaped by his childhood growing up in Nepal.
By U.S. standards, we were very poor. But by Nepal standards, I belong to a middle-class family. So my father used to work in a bank, and he used to make $200 a month. So even though that sounds like a very small amount of money here, that was a huge amount of money there. There were numerous families around us who would not make even $100 a month. From every single level, as you can imagine, they would be facing poverty. You know, the financial challenge would be huge. On top of that, there were lack of access to good schools, good hospitals. You would see people dying from diseases that can be prevented or that can easily be treated.
So you work here as an oncologist, and you're working with cancer patients.
15 to 20 patients mm-hmm. a day.
But you also have a foundation.
So what we do is try to improve access to healthcare, access to cancer care in the United States and in low-income countries such as Nepal and India. So for example, in India, we have a partnership with the government of India, and we are working on establishing 51 hospice and palliative care programs in Madhya Pradesh, which is a state of 73 million people there.
73 million people.
That is correct.
51
That, right, centers. Right. So, you know, until 2 years ago, they had zero centers.
And then in Nepal, you've just opened, relatively recently, a bone marrow transplant center.
That is correct. So bone marrow transplant center was established approximately 3 years ago, and it was a partnership between our foundation as well as a government hospital in Nepal and University of Illinois at Chicago.
Why that particular thing? Why bone marrow transplants?
So bone marrow transplant is the only treatment modality for some of the blood cancers and blood diseases.
So leukemia, things like that?
That is correct. Leukemia, lymphoma, multiple myeloma, aplastic anemia, and all that. So in a country of 30 million people, they did not have any bone marrow transplant center prior to that.
What would happen before this center opened to people who had lymphoma or leukemia or multiple myeloma?
It depended on who you were. If you were wealthy, you'd go to India or some other country to get bone marrow transplant. And if you are not wealthy, you die. There was no other option.
How do you measure the change that exists now in Nepal for those patients? How do you know, how do you quantify the difference it's made?
Yeah, so for example, until now, we have been able to transplant approximately 60 patients. Like these 60 patients would not have received treatment if we did not have this transplant center. Now, one of the major differences between other transplant centers and this one is it is very cheap. It costs $5,000 to receive a bone marrow transplant. Compare that to any United States bone marrow transplant centers where it is $200,000 to $300,000 for one bone marrow transplant. So even if somebody is of a middle-class family in Nepal, they can afford treatment at this center.
How often do you travel back and forth?
You know, it depends. Fortunately, with internet, communication has become very, very easy. So I have video conferences, I have phone conferences, and it is so easy to communicate with our stakeholders in India and Nepal. However, since last year, I've been traveling 2 to 3 times a year to Nepal, which is unusual for me.
When are you next going? Do you know?
In early April.
We're sitting in your office, and the only thing on the wall is this picture of Mother Teresa. She was an influence for you, I'm guessing?
Absolutely. So she is my hero. So when I was growing up in high school, I read maybe 200 books or so about religion, philosophy, biographies, all kinds of books. The one book that stood out was Biography of Mother Teresa, and the kind of impact she had on humanity was tremendous. Essentially, whatever I'm doing is a kind of moral obligation on my part, as to, you know, because I feel more privileged than many other people around me. Even a small contribution can have dramatic impact on the lives of individuals around me.
The work you're doing in Nepal and in India is setting up certain types of care that for the country, or for, in the case of India, the state, are the only sources for that kind of care. You're an oncologist here in Sidrawooli in Skagit County. Are there enough resources here?
Absolutely. There's no utopia anywhere. What we try to do is do the best we can within the resources available. Even though we do not have every single thing available here, we have some academic centers in Seattle. We can utilize resources from there. We have hospital in Bellingham. We can utilize resources from there. So there are ways we can optimize care of the patients. And the same thing is with Nepal. Even though the cancer center we have just established does not have everything right now, we recently partnered with one of the major medical universities so we can get their help in providing part of the care that we don't have available right now. So it is all about being smart. How can you try to optimize currently available resources in taking care of individual patients?
I want to ask you about this kind of two-way street that you are constantly traveling, of practicing medicine here in Sidrawooli and in Bellingham, and then also working in Nepal and India. What kinds of things has U.S. medicine taught or shared with the rest of the world?
Well, I must tell you that we should be proud of the technology we have. And we have the best technology in the world. We do the best research. We have the best drugs, best pharmaceuticals, and they have done a phenomenal job. Like cancer treatment, for example, the average survival, I would say patients surviving 6 months or 10 months if you have a stage 4 lung cancers. I have many patients who have been surviving for 3 years and 4 years. And that is miraculous. And it has happened within the last few years. It just tells you that the amount of progress we have made, the kind of technology we have. So clearly we can share our knowledge, our technology with the rest of the world. And that is a big deal. For example, in Nepal we have bone marrow transplant. I don't think we could do bone marrow transplant center in Nepal if we did not have this technology, and it came from here.
What about the other direction? What kinds of things happen in Nepal and India that would serve us well to use here in the United States?
I think there are multiple things we could look at. Number one, we need to realize that at times, less is more. More tests, more drugs may not be necessarily good. I mean, it makes patients feel good that they are being prescribed more drugs and more tests. Question is, do we have data to back up that those tests and drugs are going to be useful for them? A simple example, the opioid crisis we see here. I was never a fan of prescribing opioids left and right. And in the United States, we came with a metric that if the patient says, this should be my level of pain, you must prescribe opioids. Otherwise, as doctors, you may be penalized. So as a result, we had the opioid crisis in the whole country. So these are exactly the things we need to look into. Many times, less is more. We should not always be prescribing more drugs and more tests.
Do you find that sometimes American patients bristle at that idea? Because I think I understand the nuance of what you're saying, but I think it can be hard to communicate that to a patient sometimes who says, "Why wouldn't you do everything? Why wouldn't you give me everything in your arsenal to help me feel better?"
Well, let me explain this to you about the patients. So patients are one of the most vulnerable populations. And they come to me or come to any doctors because they really suffer from disease. They want to get better. All right? So they don't go to doctor's office or hospitals to have fun.
Right.
So they want good treatment. And it is our job as physicians and healthcare professionals to provide them with good recommendations. And many times, some patients may have misconceptions. It is a physician's job and the healthcare provider's job to clarify those misconceptions. So I do not think it is a problem with the patients. I think the problem is how we communicate that to the patients.
So what I hear you saying is that you need to kind of redefine what people think of as good care.
Absolutely.
To that end, you have a conference coming up in April that your foundation is leading that will address some of these questions and have broader conversations about what's going on.
It is called 2019 National and Global Cancer Health Disparities Summit.
It's in Seattle.
It is in Seattle on April 27th and 28th. Not only we have regular lectures, we also have a roundtable discussion that involves doctors, patient advocates. So the roundtable discussion is about buying time, how much is too much. For example, if you are going to survive 1 month longer by taking a treatment, how much should we pay for that treatment? Should it be $200,000, $1 million, or $5,000? So if you go to medical conferences, it's doctors talking to doctors. So there is silos there. But in this conference, we are trying to break the silos. So we will have politicians, we will have doctors, we will have patient advocates, we will have media personalities, and we talk about where the healthcare problems are and how we can fix them. And it is doable.
Dr. Binay Shah, thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Binay Shah is an oncologist at Peace Health in Cedro Woolley and is the founder and face of the Binay Tara Foundation. The foundation is hosting a conference in late April in Seattle to bring together patients, doctors, politicians, and others. Dr. Shah says he wants to break down the barriers between those making the policy and those who have to work underneath it in the hopes of making improvements to healthcare here in the United States.